CZ Studio and Radio Verte presents The Wild Wind by Corey Zimmerman.
Chapter 12. Throughout history, the female criminal has been cast as a double deviant. First, because she violated the law, and second, and perhaps more importantly, because she had violated the moral parameters of womanhood. And seen as beyond conversion or reform, once behind the walls of the penitentiary, Fanny knew there was no escape. The penitentiary was dirty, crowded, and each woman was isolated in a dry cell, with only a pot to piss in, locked up for 23 hours a day. If you wanted a blanket, you had to steal one. There was no exercise, no games or crafts, nothing more or less than a Puritan vision of hell, pure and simple. The perimeter of the cell house was lined with each cell, with the day room in the middle. As the guard with the master key released them for their 1 hour, they would congregate in small clusters about the floor of the day room to converse. "Is that a baby crying?" asked Fanny as an attractive lady named Caroline jumped to her feet and ran off in tears. "Did I say something to upset her? She's just jealous, that's all," said Irene, a slightly overweight black woman in her mid-40s. "Jealous?" asked Fanny. "Of what?" "The baby," said Irene, as Fanny smirked in confusion. "Guard Lewis is the baby's daddy. Florence is the mama," said Esther, a skinny, pale girl, no older than 25. The exact type of gal that really makes you wonder what she must have done to end up in a place like this. "The guard brings his baby to work?" asked Fanny. "Ain't no one supposed to know it's his baby," said Irene. "He sneaks his baby to work? At least till they find it a proper home." "He lives here?" asked Fanny. "With Florence," said Esther, "in her cell." Fanny was speechless. "Caroline just upset because she's dumb enough to think he only be doing it with her," said Irene. "Who?" asked Fanny. "Guard Lewis," said Esther, squirming on her hands. "I sure hope you got family or some cash stashed away, because I know he gonna like you, honey," said Irene, squat on her round bottom, chin in her palms, bored out of her mind. Irene had been there for a long time, after all. "No money, no family, no food. As you can see, I got family." And she grabbed a layer of fat around her belly. "So we're supposed to starve to death?" Fanny asked, as it was truly her biggest fear in life, and she knew outright she'd much rather be burnt alive. "Nope, you're supposed to let Guard Lewis have his way with you," said Esther, bouncing on her hands. "Honey, what do you know about having anything any which way anyhow?" asked Irene, and Esther looked down and grew quiet. "Money, family, or sex, honey? What's your name anyhow? Allison? Anastasia? Betty? Bertie? Kathy? Diana? Dorothy? Eleanor? Ethel? Fanny? Frances? Ginger? Helen? Jackie? Jacqueline? Kathleen? Lily? Margaret? Wait a minute. Fanny? You mean you're Fanny? The Fanny?" Irene's eyes lit up. "Well, I suppose I am," said Fanny. "Good Lord, cleverest swindler and confidence woman to ever grace the Midwest Plains, sitting right here before me. I can't believe it." "Hey girls, it's Fanny, you know, Fanny the Fainter," she yelled across the room, throwing the back of her hand across her forehead, feigning to drop to the floor behind her. All the women turned and looked and then whispered amongst themselves. "Sex for food?" Fanny asked. "And to think the warden told me to take advantage of this opportunity to find God?" Come dinner time, Fanny was back in her cell when Guard Lewis came along with a plate of bread, meat, cheese, and potatoes. "Well, hey there, darling," he said, as Fanny looked up at him in silence. He sniffs at the air. "You sure is ripe, ain't you?" But Fanny said nothing. "What's the matter, Bertie? cat got your tongue? You really ought to watch your tail feathers. There's a mean cat a-roaming. Fanny looked at the food as it steamed up toward his face, youthful yet tarnished with Satanism. Well, here you go, little bird. Dinner's on me. Birdie lunged for the plate just as he yanked it away. First one and only one, understand? Welcome to the cat house, little bird. Late that night, Fanny awoke to his cell being closed. She saw Guard Lewis walk past with a grip on Caroline's arm. Later that day, Fanny asked Irene, "Where's Caroline? I saw Guard Lewis take her away last night." "She's probably still sleeping then," said Irene. "They say Guard Lewis got quite the stamina." "Wait, you never—" Fanny began to ask. "Hell no," Irene answered abruptly. "I told you, I'm fat. Look at me. I got family who helps me out. Besides, I got caught bringing myself off one night a few years back by this guard named James. Real stickler, by the book kind of guy. Anyhow, he took me to the warden, who sent me to the doctor. Said I was hysterical and fixed me."
"He what?"
asked Fanny.
"He cut off that thing," said Esther with a blush.
"The thing?" asked Fanny. "Yeah, the thing," said Irene, nodding down toward her crotch.
"No,"
said Fanny.
"Yep," said Irene. "No more ring around the rosy for me."
"Wait, why does Caroline, how could she have feelings for such a creep?" asked Fanny.
"Daddy issues," said Esther.
"Guess she thinks she goes along with it, she ain't gonna get hurt again," said Irene.
"Again?" asked Fanny. Esther shook her head, yes.
"Daddy issues," said Esther with wide eyes.
The following day, Guard Lewis arrived at Fanny's cell with no plate of food.
"Hey there, little bird. Making yourself at home in your new nest?"
Fanny stared at him with disdain.
"Did you eat yet?" he asked.
"Of course you hadn't. So, little bird, I'm sure you know how this works. So what you got for me?" He unlocked the door, walked in, and took a look around.
"Doesn't look like you got much to offer, little bird," he said with a grin. "Come on, stand up. Go on now. Turn around, face the wall."
Fanny stared him down.
"Now," he ordered.
Fanny turned toward the wall.
"Hands on the wall.
Now let's see what you got tucked away in this pretty little get-up of yours." As he placed his hands on her hips, working his way down her thighs, and then back up toward her pelvis, up her belly to her chest, where he stopped and fondled her breasts. Fanny clenched her teeth and stared angrily at the wall, but remained still and silent. After all, she had known worse than this.
"See, you ain't got no cash. How exactly you plan on getting anything to eat around here? You think you gonna get a free ride, little bird? 'Cause you a hot little number? Well, why don't you come with me and we'll fix you up a plate?"
"No," said Fanny. She had known worse than this.
"No?"
he asked with a squeeze of her breast before dropping his hands to his side.
"No?"
and in a voice of bewilderment.
"Didn't you know you ain't allowed to say no?"
"Nope, not in here. Not in the cat house.
In the cat house, you got one word, and that word is yes, sir."
"That's two words and no," said Fanny, just as he backhanded her across the face, knocking her to the ground. Guard Lewis then walked out of her cell and slammed the door shut, saying,
"Oh, you gonna eat, or I'm gonna eat you, little bird. You see, round here, you gonna learn to be nice to me, just like the rest of them. You hear me?"
In the day room.
"Oh my, look at that shiner," said Irene.
"Guard Lewis?" asked Ethel.
"That son of a bitch is gonna get his," said Fanny.
"Calm down, honey.
Go get Fanny a blanket." Esther returned quickly and wrapped the blanket around Fanny.
"Hell, I should have gave it to you once I learned who you was and all. Slipped my mind. I can't tell you what a hero you are to me. Hell, all of us. We've been hearing about you for years. You've been the freest woman I ever heard of. Now I can say I knew you."
Irene paused before saying, "Fanny, just be careful. He a dangerous man." And Esther nodded.
"You looking awfully skinny. Esther, go get Fanny some bread from my cell."
"Don't worry about me. I can handle Guard Lewis," said Fanny. "I've dealt with men like him all my life."
For 5 days, Guard Lewis skipped Fanny's cell. But Irene kept her fed in the meantime. Fanny watched once more as Caroline was led away by the arm. Caroline looked over into Fanny's eyes, and Fanny saw a mixture of delight and pain, and she gave a slight grin. But once she was out of sight, she frowned, cried, and then spoke to Cecil.
What am I gonna do, Cecil? I just need to think. No. I can't do that, Cecil. What do you know about how to survive anyhow? You think I've been living on the high hog? No, Cecil, no. I've been scrapping by ever since you decided to get comfy in the ground, damn you.
I saw him take Caroline again, said Fanny.
Gonna have to get used to it, said Irene.
They're in love, said Esther.
He doesn't love her, snapped Fanny. There must be something we can do to help her.
Honey, you're gonna have to save all these girls then.
I say you do what you always done and save yourself, said Irene.
That bastard, said Fanny.
The three then sat in silence a moment.
How does a person get out of here anyhow? Fanny asked.
You mean break out? Asked Esther.
Has anyone ever broke out of here? Asked Fanny.
Hell, I never seen it happen, said Irene.
And I've been going on 12 years now.
So how do I break out?
You gotta go mad, said Esther.
Cuss and scream and lose your senses.
What you gotta do, honey. You gotta break things.
Hell, break your own arm if you gotta.
You gotta break something to break out, said Irene.
Yep, said Esther.
You ever seen anyone break their arm on purpose? Asked Irene.
No, that would be insane, said Fanny.
Exactly, said Esther and Irene simultaneously.
When Guard Lewis came around, Fanny had to act weak, as though she had not eaten in days.
So, little bird, stomach a growling?
I know mine sure is.
And as he unlocked the door,
come on now, let's go get you a plate.
Fanny stood up and went with him, and he took her by the arm to a storage room where he locked the door behind her.
Looking around, he said, well, shit, I guess this ain't the kitchen. Must have made a wrong turn. But I'm sure we can find something to eat around here somewhere.
Huh, there you go, he said as he pulled his penis out of his pants.
Now go on.
But Fanny turned her head away. He shoved her over into the wall and in a rage, kicked her right in the face, knocking her out cold. All the other women locked in their cells watched in silence as Guard Lewis drug Fanny back to her cell by the arm. Later that day, she sat with Irene and Esther. Esther cleaned the gash above her eye when another inmate walked up and set a piece of bread before her, and then another approached with another piece of bread. She was then given a chunk of cheese and a cup of soup, a chunk of meat, as almost every inmate came to sit food at Fanny's feet. But all Fanny saw was a pile of sexual favors, a pile of rape, coercion, and blackmail, and a constant fear of violence. Later that night in her cell, she told Cecil,
I think I got an idea.
That's it.
That's it, Cecil. I done figured it out. I'm getting the hell out of here.
When Guard Lewis passed by Fanny's cell the next day, she called for him.
What the hell you want? He asked.
Please, sir, I'm starving. I'll do anything you ask. I promise you, just please take me. By the time Guard Lewis stumbled from the storage room, he was doused in vomit with his pants at his knees, moaning in agony with a look of total disbelief on his face. Fanny had already torn her clothes to shreds and had begun to climb the bars of the cells, howling like a rabid beast as the vomit foamed about her lips. Guard Lewis screamed in pain,
"You crazy bitch! You bit my dick off!"
As he collapsed, Fanny wailed on in bloody terror on his behalf. It took a dozen guards to pull her down from the bars and drag her out of the cell house by the legs. As she dug her nails into the floor until they bled, Fanny had managed to lift the keys from Guard Lewis while in the storage room, and amongst the commotion, the guards had failed to notice that she slid them into Irene's cell. As the last of the guards helped Guard Lewis to his feet and walked him out of the cell house, Irene unlocked her cell, and then Esther's, and then another, and another, until all the women inmates came out howling in hysteria. Fanny, having instigated the first female prison riot in modern history, was thrown into solitary confinement under the care of the doctor. 6 weeks later, everyone stood at their bars in silence as the despondent Fanny was led back to her cell. A half a day went by before two guards returned with the warden and entered Fanny's cell. A moment later, they escorted her out with shackles around her wrists and ankles and she carried a folded blanket under her arm. As they passed Irene's cell, Birdie said wait. And she handed the blanket back to Irene. Irene smiled and whispered, "You broke out." Fanny grinned, and the guards pulled her along. She walked in the tiny steps one may take with shackles upon their feet, the same tiny steps she had taken for a lifetime, as Esther began to clap, and then everyone, until the applause turned to chants of Fanny. And then Birdie, as arms began to flap within their cages, circling in jubilation. The roar sent chills of inspiration and hope down their spines. And long after Fanny turned and bowed, each woman stood taller and proud to be a double deviant.